Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to another edition of She Soul Presents Speaking Volumes. Tonight we have a special guest. We have author, mentor, writer, poet, Sister Amira Rahman with us tonight, and we're going to be speaking to her about her book that she just recently put out called The Unveiled. And I'm going to bring her up on the line right now. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you doing, sister?
Good, alhamdulillah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, alhamdulillah. All right, so we're going to get started in a few moments. I just want to give a couple of people some time to call. And I actually just called in myself at the last minute because I was doing all of my sending out my invites and everything. So let me just repost it real quick.
Okay.
All right. I shared it so everyone should know. All right, inshallah, we're going to get started with our interview. So the first question that I wanted to ask you is, for those people that don't know who you are, I wanted you to give them a little synopsis on who you are and what you do.
Okay. My name is Amira Rahman, and I am a mother, a mentor, a teacher, a poet, and a writer, and I wear many different hats. I enjoy writing. Actually, I enjoy most things that I do. And I recently began to write a series of different books that I wanted to start publishing and starting getting out to the youth in our community and different people in our community. So I set out on a mission probably a couple of years ago where I was like, I'm going to write Islamic books. I'm going to write, you know, just enjoy writing and write and put something out there for the youth. So that's pretty much what I've been doing and trying to wear all my hats and stay focused and really, you know, be productive. So that's pretty much who I am. That says, you know, all of me.
Okay, well, you talked about being a mother. And I just wanted to touch briefly on that because you have 8 children, correct?
Yes, I do.
6 are biological or I forgot
what you're talking about. Yeah, I have 6 biological children and 2 other children.
Okay. So how is it that you manage exactly what you do with all of those children? Because I know that's a lot of work.
I'm pretty much really, really organized. I don't know. It's a lot of work, but I enjoy it. I kind of like just, you know, keep everybody on the schedule, kind of use a calendar to remember where each person needs to be or has to be. And I'm pretty good at keeping up with that. I don't know if it comes from coming from a large family and where I had like 5 younger sisters. I grew up with, you know, my sisters all 5 years younger than me, and there were 5 of them. So I guess that kind of put me into practice. And then throughout growing up, I always worked with children. So, you know, having my own and organizing them and keeping them, you know, together has pretty much, you know, it's to me, it's easy. So when people complain when I have like 1 or 2, I'm like, what? I'm like, this is easy.
Right, in comparison to 8, that's wow. And we were just talking about that because I said with my 3, I'm ready to jump off a cliff somewhere. Like, I don't even know how you're doing 8. MashaAllah, my heart is off to you because that's definitely something.
Yeah, I keep a schedule. I try to keep a schedule. I show some leniency once in a while, but you got to pretty much keep a good schedule with them and, you know, make sure they're in bed at a certain time, up at a certain time, eating at a certain time, you know, even doing today hygiene, doing that at a certain time. So I'm like, okay, I got to keep everything organized or it'll be chaos.
Okay, so for all those sisters out there that are wanting to do more things with themselves, you heard the sister, organization is the key. Organization is the key to everything, and you can pretty much do everything that she does.
Because a lot of people who meet me always say, they go, you don't have children. I'm like, yes, I do. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, I think last I checked back at home, there were kids there.
Listen, when we first had that conversation, it totally blew my mind. When you said eight, I said, what, eight kids? And you do all this, so mashallah. Like I said, that is definitely a wonderful thing. Let me just ask you, with you having your eight children, did the inspiration to start working with the youth, did it come about from that, or was it, you know, something that you just wanted to do for a very long time, even before you had kids?
Way before I had kids. Probably by the time I was 16, I was helping in one of the madrasas with the kindergarten students. And after that, I worked in most of the madrasas coming up, and, you know, I worked in other different fields also, and I've always worked with children, always, since I was 16 years old. So it's been many years of work and putting it in with the children.
Yeah, so that has given you many years of learning patience too, right? And how to deal with your own thing. A couple of practice, little guinea pigs. Yeah. We'll close children pigs. But a couple of practice ones. So alhamdulillah for that. Allah was preparing you for something great. Mashallah.
Yes, so, always, always. I always say Allah prepares you for something ahead of time. You just don't know what He's preparing you for. So when you get there, you're like, oh, okay, I see, okay.
Yep, that's so very true, very true. Well, I wanted to ask you about the book, The Unveiled. Before I even requested that you come on the show, I was seeing it posted up a lot, and, you know, I really, really felt like I wanted to read this book. Can you tell those of us that haven't read the book or don't know anything about it? I do understand that it's a collection of different inspirational stories, but can you kind of give us a brief synopsis of maybe one of the stories, or, you know, basically what is the whole direction of the book?
The whole direction of the book was to empower women and youth. It was pretty much to empower everybody and just touch people's lives with, you know, powerful American Muslim stories, you know, about our lives and things that happen to us on a daily basis, things that we go through, and, you know, also topics that people don't want to talk about, you know. But I wanted to put how, you know, prayer and faith and, you know, courage comes with us as far as being Muslim, living our lives as Muslims, and dealing with different problems that we come across, you know, in our lives. So I had started just, like, writing little short stories, you know, little poems, and I shared a few things a couple of times with different other people who were like, you should write an entire book. What's going on?
Stop playing around.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know, let me see. You know, let me see if I, you know, compile these stories. I can get a whole entire book out of this, and then I'll start working on writing, you know, full-length novels. But I wanted to test it out and see, you know, how it would go, how, you know, I would feel about it after I started writing, you know, and how other people, you know, would feel about it. And I got so much positive feedback. It was just like, wow. I was like, oh, okay. You know, people are really interested in this kind of stuff, you know. So I just was like, I started writing one summer, and I just was like writing back to back. I was just, you know, I would have the stories playing in my head, and I just, you know, I was like, okay, this story, I want this story about this, you know. So in the book, you'll find different stories about so many different aspects of our lives. I wrote one story about domestic violence. Another story is about, you know, a Muslim brother and his love for his wife. A young lady who comes into Islam. You know, just, I wrote about everything, pretty much. So in the story, it's like seven different stories. You know, so I put some stories in there for the brothers, because I know, you know, they always feel left out. But so yeah. I made sure I put some stories in there for them, you know, about brotherhood and, you know, just some of the things that they go through also as far as being Muslim and growing up, you know, in American society also. So I try to touch on everything. I really did. So I hope people do enjoy it.
Inshallah. And I just wanted to read some feedback, actually, that I was actually reading on your page from a couple of people that have read it. And one of the sisters say, Amira, this book is For real. I really did enjoy it. It is easy to link the stories to today's world. Very touching, inspirational stories. Stories of strong, faithful women. A book I would definitely recommend. And then it says, Assalamu alaikum, sis. Came home from Tarawih prayer and found a package. Inside was my copy of your book that I ordered a while back. Started reading today on the bus heading for Juma and had to hold back the tears after reading the first story. That was my story, and it hit me hard. What I need to do to truly heal, I am loving your book, and I am so proud of your accomplishments and to have you as my sister. Ramadan Mubarak. Another sister says, peace, sister, alhamdulillah. This brings me the same feeling as the story Muslim caused it. As long as Allah allows it, please continue writing. Your gift should be shared with others always. Now, how do those kind of responses make you feel? Because I know a lot of people, you know, well, I'm not going to say a lot of people. Some people say that they write, you know, not for themselves, but they write for others. Mm-hmm. Some people write as a means of therapy, you know, to get through whatever it is they're going through. So how does that make you feel to know that you are touching people to the point where they're crying? Like, that's emotional.
I almost cried. No, when you were just reading it, I was almost in tears because I didn't realize how it would impact so many people's lives, you know, so much. And, you know, when I was writing, I just thought about the different things I've heard people say or the different problems that I heard people go through. And I really wanted to touch on those things and help people heal at the same time and inspire people to know that no matter what you go through, Allah is, you know, your ultimate goal, and everything we do is to strive towards Him. And anything He puts in front of us as a test is just something that He wants us to get over for the love of Him. And we can do that if we put all our faith in Him. So when I read those comments and stuff, I just was like, wow, oh, my God, you know, thank you, Allah, for giving me a place to even express these things for them. So a lot of times in my writing, even in my poetry, I'm hoping that I'm a voice for other people so that, you know, inshallah, that, you know, they can be heard.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I'll check that over here.
That was going to bring me to my next question, which was going to be, and I think you already answered it, where exactly did you get the stories from? Are they based on your life, or are they based on experience of others?
Some experience of my own, some experience of others. It was just like some of the stories were mixed experiences of others. Just growing up, you know, I grew up Muslim, you know, my entire life. So I witnessed a lot of different things and a lot of different aspects of people's lives and people who came from various different backgrounds. And just watching them and listening, because I'm a person, I love to listen and just be like sitting there and be like, oh, wow, you know, this is what they went through. Wow. You know, but I like to express what seems not to be expressed all the way. And that really comes in my poetry side of me, where I just like to really, really express what's going on with them. And I worked in the field of domestic violence. You know, I worked in so many different fields that you just get, you know, so many different stories. You know, I could write forever. Just based on stories that I've heard from so many different people. So I just really enjoy it. And I don't know.
The home to be loved, that's, and it's definitely a beautiful thing to be able to do something that you actually love. And, you know, that's very important because a lot of us have 9-to-5s and, you know, you get up in the morning and you're like, oh, God, I got to go to this place, you know. But to do something you love and to appreciate it, and it just makes you put that much more into it also. Because you actually care about it.
Yeah, because I tell people, I was like, you know, a couple of years ago, I was working all the time. I was working 16-hour shifts. You know, I was just working, and, like, on my night shift, I would bring my pencil and pad. And when I got a break, I would write. You know, and every time I had a break, I would write. You know, I was very determined to do these books. You know, a lot of people, I would say, oh, you know, I'm going to write, and I'm going to publish a book. And I was like, okay, yeah, okay. You're just saying it. Everyone says it. I'm like, no, I'm really going to do this. So, you know, that became really important for me to accomplish that, because so many people were like, you know, many of us say it, no one does it. And I'm like, oh, no, when I say something, I'm doing it, inshallah.
Yeah.
You know,
I got to raise my hand on that one. I've been working on stories for I don't know how many years, and they still ain't finished it. So I just totally feel you on that. Now, I want to ask you, you could have went in any direction with your book. You could have based it on, you know, non-Muslim characters. Why did you feel that it was important to write a book that was based on Muslim characters?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Because I feel that, you know, as a Muslim woman, that we should have something to offer society, our children, women who look up to us. You know, we should have role models. And as I was growing up, I didn't really feel like we had, you know, I had those role models that I could say, okay, this is the so-and-so, this is what she's accomplished, you know, this, that, and the other. And being a person who loved reading, every time I would go into this, you know, book library, I could never find anything that I could relate to. You know, the most books that, you know, we related to or I related to was the stories of Sahaba. You know, I could read those. But none of it depicted our lives in America, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and I always remember other girls where you would get a book and the mothers would say, oh, no, you can't read that. That has too much of this in it. That has too much of that in it. Take the book. So I'm like, okay, so what do we read? We have to read. So as I had my first daughter and she began to grow up and she began to put books and she began to read books, I was like, man, you know what? There really is not anything that our children can relate to as Muslims.
Right.
And I think it's very important that our children have something to relate to as Muslims that's realistic. Not just, okay, you know, we read the Quran, we read the Hadith. Yes, those things are important. But when our children go get a book and they're reading books like Twilight, Twilight has nothing to do with us. Twilight is nothing that we can relate to. Yeah, you know, you know, these things have nothing to do with our lives, and we glamorize these things. So why aren't we, as Muslims, not glamorizing Islam for the beauty that it has and the beauty that it holds and such a strong culture that it has that really can develop positive, productive people? So I wanted to do that. I'm like, okay, then I'll do it, and I'm going to leave something that my children will read, and hopefully someone else will follow in my footsteps. You know, so that is definitely one of my dreams and hopes, that we'll have other Muslims who rise up to the occasion and actually write, you know, good Islamic books.
Yes, and I definitely have to commend you, as well as Umm Juwayriya, who's actually, inshallah, she was scheduled to be on a previous show, but due to unfortunate circumstances, she wasn't able to make it. But inshallah, we're going to have her on. But, you know, you guys are definitely making a huge step for Muslims, period, by creating a form of fiction that is, you know, solely targeted towards Muslims. So that's definitely, and we do need something for our children to look up to, rather than just, you know, Eric Jerome Dickey and all these other types of, you know, urban fiction, you know, that they can't really relate to, these lifestyles they can't relate to. So we do need something for our children. Has your daughter read your book?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
She was my first test subject. I was like, okay, let me write a story. Let me give it to her, because my daughter is a reader. She has shelves of books in her room. And I was like, let me see what she does. And she read it, and she's like, where's the end? What's the end? Where's the end? I'm like, what?
Oh,
can you hurry up and write? And she wanted me to hurry up. She was bugging me every day. Are you done yet? I'm like, no. I need to know what happens next. I was like, you can't read what happens next. But she was so excited. And I was like, okay. She likes it. I mean, other young people will like it too. You know?
Yes.
So I was like, okay. I'm good to go.
Yeah, that's so very important. Definitely, like, with the youth. Like, I had told someone that I had a young girl, you know, say to me that she enjoyed, you know, some of the poetry that I did. And I was like, it touched me so deeply, because I said, for me, like, to reach the youth, that's my goal. if I can reach the youth, like, I feel like I can reach anybody, you know, because they're, like, the most important voice to me right now because they, you know, are going to be the future, inshallah. So I really, you know, want to reach them, and it's very important for us to be able to have some type of open communication with them so that they can, you know, grow up to be good Muslims, inshallah, and you know, reach for their dreams. Yeah, so that's wonderful. All right. So the book, where can we buy the book at?
Oh, okay. You can get the book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com, and ArthurHouse.com.
Okay. Did you call
There's another site. Yes, I pretty much self-published my book. I went through Arthur House, but I had to pay all the costs for the book and getting it published, getting everything done. So they're they were just like a company that you go through that puts them on other websites, you know, because they were able to put it on Arthur House. They had other things that they were offering to help promote my book. But because I was working with limited financial resources, I was like, oh, no, I can't pay for that. Oh, no, okay, I can't pay for that either. So what I did was go through their list of what they had to offer that would help promote my book. And the things that I noticed that I felt that I could do myself, I did myself, such as my video promos. I did my video promos myself. And I was like, who did these video promos? Oh, my God, they're so good. I'm like, me?
Wow.
You know, so I took something that would have cost me $3,000 to $5,000 and did it myself for nothing on my own computer. So,
Well, sister, you are a great inspiration to all the Muslimas out there and people in general. Just people that think that they can't do something or. You know, they have too many responsibilities, they have too many children, they don't have enough time. Like, you find time to make things happen, and you're definitely a testament to that. Now, I think we mentioned in the beginning of the show that you are a poet. When did you first, how do I want to say this? Well, when did your love of poetry start, and when did you actually start to write?
Oh, my gosh. My love of poetry started many, many years ago. Probably when I was about 10. When you're learning rhyming and you're learning this, that, and the other in class. And, you know, of course, we had to read some different poems and stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, I like the way these things flow. I like the flow. And I like, you know, the fact that this person is expressing themselves. And I'm like, oh, okay, I like this. So as I was growing up, I used to write, you know, little love poems. What did I know about love? But I still wrote them.
Yes, everybody.
You know, I wrote. So I used to write little love poems, you know, little poems about the sky, you know, just different poems about all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So recently I had probably a couple of years ago, I had wrote a poem and put it on one of those poetry sites just to see what happened. And they were like, oh, my goodness, that was good. And this and the other. And they sent me my poem back, and it was on this little pretty piece of paper. I was like, oh, cool, this is nice. So after that, I just, you know, began to write, you know, and I've always just wrote poetry, but I didn't share my poetry. I used to just write it and, you know, have it in my little book and put it away. So, I don't know, a couple of years ago, somebody said something to me. I was like, oh, I got a poem, you know, and I was like, I'll do it, and I'll say it, and they're like, oh, my gosh, why don't you perform? I'm like, I don't know. I never thought about it.
Wow.
So I never thought about it. I never thought about getting out there and performing and, you know, just doing all that stuff. I was just busy being a mother and busy working. So, you know, lately I've been getting out and performing, you know, whenever I can, and share my poetry, you know, I'm enjoying my Facebook and share my poetry, you know, on Facebook and stuff like that. So I love poetry. Love it.
Are you performing anywhere anytime soon?
I don't know.
No,
I, I just recently performed, probably a couple of weeks ago, at a little small event, and then a few weeks before then I performed, actually I got a chance to perform a poem that I was trying to perform forever, but I never could get my sisters to all be in the same place with me. So recently, yes, it was at the beginning of the month, beginning of actually September, two of my sisters were here, and they both are beautiful singers, so I had them do a poem called Benefactor of His Love with me, and they did our rude part, and I went into the poetry. So I really enjoyed performing that piece, you know. That was like, yes. So I've been, you know, wherever I can perform, if I get invited out, you know, I try to, you know, make it and, you know, perform whatever pieces I have, you know.
Inshallah. All right, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing a little piece of you with us. Can you tell everyone where they can reach you or how they can
reach you? They can find me on Facebook. My name is Amira, A-M-E-E-R-A-H. Last name is R-A-H-M-A-N. And I'm on Facebook. Pretty much that's all I know. I haven't decided to Twitter or anything like that yet. I don't know if I even have time to Twitter.
Exactly. It's too much.
Yeah, they were like, oh, get on Twitter. I'm like, oh, you think I'm going to be pressing on my phone all day? No.
Yeah. I can't do that. Look, I barely update my Facebook status the way I'm supposed to. Twitter, absolutely not. I just can't. I can't update my status all day. I don't think I want people knowing that much about me to be updating my status all day long. That's just too much. So I feel you.
Yeah.
On Twitter. But, you know, for promotional purposes, I guess. It's a good thing. All right, inshallah, we're going to ask you to do some poems for us. And
Okay.
Again, I want to thank you for coming on. You know, mashallah, I told you the first time I spoke to you. You know, I feel your energy. You're like, you feel like a very beautiful sister. Like, you know, inshallah, when I come to Atlanta, we have to meet up so we can meet face to face.
Yes, yes, indeed, yes. That would be nice.
Talking to one of my old friends, though. Like, I'm just silly and crazy and giggling with you on the phone. I know you're like, this girl is out her mind.
you have
such a comfortable spirit, you know. So I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us. And I'm going to let you take it away with your phones, inshallah.
Okay, I'll just do that. And shukran for inviting me. This piece. This piece is called Modesty. And this is for our young ladies and ladies out there who have difficulty with other people talking about you wearing your veil. And hopefully this will uplift you and inspire you to do just that without any fear. Modesty. You look at me with a turned up nose. You whisper how you don't like my clothes. You wonder why I'm dressed from my head to my toes. You wonder why my breasts are not exposed. Modesty is my code of honor, a level of respect that I expect. My body I choose to protect. So maybe it's time that you reflect. For true beauty lies within, not in how you see my skin. I wear these clothes by choice, but it doesn't mean I have no voice. My success is my state of mind. I stand tall, sweet, gentle, and refined, while out in the world on my grind. I am skilled and knowledgeable, and I have class. My worth and beauty isn't measured in how I shake my ass. I empower myself to do my best. For it is you I am not trying to impress. So if you ask me if I'm hot, I say hell yes. But modesty is in the way that I dress, for I'm not in a fashion contest. As you parade, as the men degrade, and you often live alone and all afraid, maybe it's time that you upgrade. As I adjust my veil with precision, I take pride in my decision. It's my honor, it's my duty, to guard myself in all my beauty. My veil shows my conviction. God is my addiction. Unwanted glances and advances. This well is my protection. So if you have any objections, I have one suggestion. That you, yes, you, look in a different direction. And that's my piece called Modesty. I have another piece called Reflecting on How We Are Correcting. And I wrote this piece as a message to all of us to be careful how we talk to each other and correcting each other. We should do it in a positive way and a way that reflects the beauty of Islam. Reflecting on how we are correcting. A Muslim is one who is safe from another Muslim's hand and tongue. This is a lesson that I was taught since I was young. But some seem to have missed out on this lesson as they approach others with so much anger and aggression. For the problems that are propagated in our communities, it's because we have lack of unity. And how can we be unified when there are so many laws in the DAB that we don't abide? For in correcting me, you say you are protecting me, but at the same time disrespecting me. And no one's saying that you cannot correct, but do it in a way that's pleasing to Allah and His Prophet. And you say that I'm rebellious to Islam, but the true fact is I'm rebellious to Islam. And yes, we know it's your duty, but do it in a way that reflects Islam's beauty. You say Islam is not a democracy, but when you talk, can you do it without an ounce of hypocrisy? For if you came to me with an ayat or a dalal, instead of using words that are harsh and vile, I would set your words with a smile. And that you say that I don't have iman, faith, while all the while you're acting like an agent of shaitan, causing dissension in the ranks. On my ears, your words are shooting blanks. So how can I sit back and not respond when your harsh words are causing another Muslim harm? And you say to me to fear your wrath? How can you put yourself on the same level as Allah? So to you I say, A'udhu billah, for the only wrath I fear is from Allah. And then you compare me to a kufa, when I fear Allah and have submitted myself to Him. Each time you say this, it is you who incur another sin. So reflect on how you correct. Islam's beauty is what you should project. So be careful of what you say. For Allah is the final judge on Judgment Day. This last piece that I'll share with you is called Man Order Story. I wrote this poem working in a detention center for young girls, the age of 12 to 18, and I found so much hopelessness in their eyes. And the same hopelessness that I saw in their eyes, I saw it in a lot of our youth, Muslim young girls and boys' eyes. So I hope that this poem uplifts their spirits. It's called A Man Wrote a Story. A man wrote a story of you. A man wrote a story of me. But is it true? He said that you would accomplish this and I would accomplish that. But is it a fact? Does it hold substance or are there some details that he lacked? He spoke of the morals that you lack. He told of how my life's dreams would fall through the cracks. He told me of the wild monkey that rode upon my back. He told wild tales of how I would fail and at what age I would go to jail. He told me he would not leave until he had what he came for, my faith, my hope, my dreams, and then me. He said he would not up, for he was a persistent and clever little guy. And that was no lie. But to him, this was my reply. You may be a persistent and clever little guy, but it is God and I who decide how I live and die. And you may kick and you may scream, for God and I are an unbeatable team. I am the writer of my own destiny and dream, and you will never get the best of me. I am the dictator, the curator of what I will achieve. I am the manufacturer of what you see. So why would I let another man write what's best for me? For I'm here to tell you that book you hold is old, and I will shape and mold, turning pennies into mountains of gold. And you may write, but I hope you have skills, because it is I who has free will and the most elegant writing skills. And yes, I am here to steal your glory, for I am the new writer of this here story. Bastien, Shukran, I really appreciate you having me on the show. And
wow,
I hope that
for being
the work.
I said Shukran for being on. I know I keep over talking.
That's okay.
Shukran for being on. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Everybody knows that's my favorite word. I'm always, I appreciate everyone. I appreciate people for listening. I appreciate the features that come on and share with us. Like, you guys could be doing anything else. And it's just, I feel like it's a blessing to me that people actually take their time, take time out and, you know, call into the show and, you know, share things
mm-hmm.
with us. So I really do. I appreciate it, and I'm sure my listeners appreciate it as well. And inshallah, everything.
I always say, whatever gift Allah gives you, you got to share.
Yes, definitely. And we have to support each other. It's very important. So please support the sister. Purchase her book. It's called The Unveiled. And like she said, you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, in a couple of other places. What we can do is I can post it up on my page for anyone that's interested, or I can direct you directly to Amira, inshallah, so you can get the book. Again, sis, thank you for sharing. I hope that you keep listening in. Inshallah, I will talk to you later. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaykum salam. Shukran.
Afwan. All right, inshallah, we're going to open up the open mic. I know that we're opening it up pretty late, but mashallah, today, you know, there's a little off day. So we're going to open up the open mic. So all of those that are interested in getting on the open mic, please press 1. Okay, I see that I have a caller in queue. Caller 215, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. Is it us?
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Aisha, a.k.a. Raw, the Muslima Poetessess, and I also have my fellow poetesses on the line, inshallah.
Yay!
Oh,
I knew your sisters got fire. You guys called them last time. This is Sanum. This is you guys, right? The whole group.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so mm-hmm. Alaikum, everybody. How are you?
Well, I'm good.
All right, so inshallah, when you girls are ready to speak, go ahead, you got the floor.
All right, this piece is called Illuminati. 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 Our surface is so shallow, but I'm going to need y'all to swallow the depth of this thing. This drink that I'm going to need y'all to think, but don't choke. The 1300s brought the existence of a people. They called themselves free, but make no mistake, they are corrupt and evil. They are sorcerers set out to deceive you, enhancing your visions only to fool you. They are the Freemasons. And no time are they wasting to bring about destruction to worldwide nations. There are 3 degrees of Freemasonry, and the Illuminati is the highest degree now. Getting deeper into this conspiracy, Adam Weishaupt was the founder of the Illuminati, same as the Order of Perfectibilis formed by Brother Spartacus. Same name, same plan, same thoughts, same man. These people carry the flag right from Satan's hands. They worship the one that will respite till days are done. They want to enlighten you with their darkness and their gloom. Their light is their power. They believe not in God. They fear not the hour. They have an ulterior mission, and those in their highest ranks must protect the Luciferian doctrine. The evil that we know is all of their good. Illuminati wants us to think that we're misunderstood. You see, Lucifer divided by Latin equals light bringer. This is whom they call their great architect. Their reverence for him couldn't be stranger. Their truth brings out falsehood, lies with secrets in disguise. They force you into the shadows with nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. The Illuminati is an illness, keeping you ill, breaking your will, keeping you filled with food and cheap thrills. It'll overtake your soul till your heart becomes black and your conscience is cold. I'm not bringing you new intel, just revisiting the old, because they are the light of the dark and the dark of the light, with no lightness in their hearts and no darkness to fight. Because again, their darkness is their light. No one believes they have hidden agendas. How many times have you heard new world order by their pawns and their henchmen? Adam W. stated, the great strength of our order lies in its concealment. So they mask their evil acts through an oligarchy government, making you believe in a change till we back in concentration camps going insane, people. You've been had. They pulled a new puppet out of their bag, and the disguise is wise. The tricksters connected the strings into the limbs of a black guy, so you don't ask why. Now he's giving the NWO a push. He's an imposter, Mr. Yes We Can, Overseer Barack Hitler or Bush. And you are amazed and afraid because they cast the spells in your brain. You got to get out of the matrix quick. Which pill will it be? The corruption surrounds us. They are the Illuminati.
As I read these words, you may not understand the critical condition that our minds are in. Quite frankly, we're too busy living life than to worry about the government's plan to control the same life that we're too busy living. Open your eyes to what I'm saying. As you already know since America began that the government had a plan, and if you didn't know and if you don't quite understand that Uncle Sam and the pentagram goes hand in hand, so when you pledge your allegiance to this great land of Inuit Coeptus, Novus Ordo Seclorum, you have no clue to what you're pledging to or the subliminally blatant messages that they've been spoon-feeding you. They use deceptive disguises of politics and lies, messages... The message of this nation. I'm talking secret societies and brotherhoods of Freemasons, the soldiers of Satan, playing on our subconscious minds through symbols and signs. They even had the most elaborate scheme to use powerful black brothers that pursue rap dreams, promising them immortality and the abundance of powers to also make them great with an abundance of followers. So the next time Jay-Z throws up the rock and asks who you with, your response should probably be the Baphomet, because that, my friend, is who he represents. Don't turn a blind eye when his is all seeing. They even made our money funny with symbolism. Started way back in 1776 with the Colombian faction, was when the melting pot stopped, a pot of a concoction of a poisonous potion, sick, twisted minds of the times, ancient drilled rites and Babylonian Canaan cults of Moloch. That's when the web was wove, the evil island of Bohemian Grove, and of course, dog here, weaving spiders, not come here. All of these things still lurking, illuminating the dark, waiting to spark the torch of the Illuminati.
What have we here? The man is in blackface, and there are tears of joy running down the blackface. We dream American vicariously through head of state. I was swallowing the red pill, call it media. I was swallowing the blue pill, call it higher education. By us swallowing the runoff of sedatives, hormones, stimulants, and sterilizers. Masterminds of genociders. Eugenics, prison. Kill them for they're born. Catch them while they're living. I trust not the masses nor the master. Both Democrats and Republicans gather at Bohemian Grove. They have a mesmerized following in droves, lunging our young into the bonfire, bone fire. They seek power through sacrificing the human figure. Well, I refuse to be burned in effigy by some neo-Nazi Judaic impersonating puppets of the devil, satellites projecting heathenism to man at every level, handcrafting crisis into opportunity to control the world community via airwaves. What better than boys to catch the flies? Death by design, hamsters in a cage, government handouts just to quell the rage, illegal tax enforcement handed back to us as stimulus, lenders our beliefs as we need them. What in the Ashkenazi did you just run by me? Yet another headline of a kamikaze jihadi sitting to take away my civil liberty so they ensure my safety. You want me to help you observe me? Since when does the government care that I purchase a converter box? Who is it that is really being watched? Patriot Acts, pledges of civil service, why are not my people getting nervous? White Anglo-Saxon faction, private-owned central bankers, think tankers, capitalistic aristocracy, sever the heads and the powerless majority. Revelations 2:9. I know thy,
works in tribulation to poverty, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and they're not, but of the synagogue of Satan, and together they plot. We are caught in this phase of preparation for the establishment of the rule of the false Messiah, who leads to water when in reality it is fire, threatens with fire lest we should reach the water, all a part of this new world order, conjure up people, in attempts to stupefy and enslave the people, no more transparent currency, worthless paper promissory, not backed by neither precious metal nor commodity, if not yet concerned with then you need to be. See, when it hits the fan, sometimes it takes a while to land. So it may not end up in your hand or in that of the next man, but what if it lands in the laps of your grands or great-great-grands? What are we going to have to say for ourselves then? As I face with the likes of the one-eyed man, the Dajjalic master plan, with no foundation upon which to stand, believers, it is high time for a plan. I'm talking Dinar and Durham, our own land, enforcing a law's command, ammunition, ambition, divine mission, real illumination, illumination,
illuminati.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. I was like, oh my God, that was really wild. It was all three of you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, that was all three of us.
Tana, lost your crime for sharing that. We were talking about it on Facebook. We're like, wow, they're hot. Like, so are you sisters performing anywhere? Like, what's going on with that?
Well, I mean, we just did our first monthly writers club. We did that. We didn't get a big show out, actually, but, you know, we expect that when we just start out. And we're waiting for, like, just some more convenient open mics to pop off because we're all moms. I have 5 children. Law has 6 children. Tyria has 3 children, you know, with stay-at-home moms or full-time moms. So we're looking for things that are a little bit earlier in the day to work around our schedules because we're really traditional about how we run our homes and our domestic life and being wives and everything. So we're willing to be patient and wait for more forms to open up that fit into our lifestyle. But, you know, inshallah, when they open up, we'll be there. And inshallah,
well,
we're just working on our
people on my page, inshallah. Inshallah, people on my page are asking me who you guys are. So please go and comment.
Oh, cool.
On it's actually my status. This is
okay,
open
I'm
my
on there right
now.
Okay.
Please go comment who you are so people know.
Okay, I'm clicking on it right now.
Yes, go comment.
Your sisters
are wonderful, inshallah. I hope to hear from you guys not next week. I think the next show is on the 4th. But inshallah, you guys will know. I'll put it on Facebook. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Alaikum.
All right, the open mic is still going. I'm looking for more open micers. If you're interested in getting on the open mic, please press 1. Again, if you're interested in getting on the open mic, please press 1. I'm waiting for some open micers. I don't want everybody to be shy. I actually had a couple of people that told me they were going to share poems tonight, and I think that they're afraid to press 1. And I don't want to just go ahead and put you on the air without your permission, so... If you don't want me to do that, just go ahead and press 1. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid to share. You know, everyone has a different form of poetry, and, you know, your poetry will be valued just as the next person. So please press 1 if you're looking to share your poetry. While I'm waiting to get some more open micers on the line, I want to let you guys know who those sisters were. Actually, one of the sisters, her name is Sanum, and she's actually on Facebook there, 3-part group. I'm not exactly sure what their group name is, but it's a 3-part group, and if you want to know more about them, you can hit my Facebook page up. You can go to www.facebook.com. I'm sure we all know that. /she soul and add me to your Facebook page, and you'll see them on my page. All right, we got another open mic on the line. Caller 404, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Brother Adam.
Adam. Adam, what are you going to do? You're going to split something, guys.
I was thinking about spitting something, you know. I'm not really a poet. I really do, you know, Islamic rap, so, you know. But I was thinking about sharing something, but I was feeling some type of way a couple of days ago, so, you know.
All right.
It's really not that long. I haven't really finished it, but, you know, it's just very profound. Alhamdulillah. Starts off. It's called Afghanistan. I said. A young girl shivers, scared to turn around. The bullet hits the flesh. The body hits the ground. All eyes search the field in search of a sound. The murderers were praised. No evidence was found. The people all surround, the body lays in plain. The women start to cry in agonizing pain. The men go grab their guns, they're driving them insane. These cowards strike again, the girl was only 10. You're in Afghanistan where murder never ends. The people won't give in, the West just wants to win. A politician's feast, where soldiers rest in peace, with every day of decease. Here in Afghanistan, and that's it, you know. Bless the mic real fast. Your feast is due to that.
All right, I'm going to need you to do something else, though, because I'm going to need you to hit that with that Muslim for real flow.
Muslim for real? You want some of that Muslim for real? Hold on, man. Like, you
for
think
real,
they're ready
yes,
for that? Huh? What'd you say? I said, what'd you say?
So give him a little live Dina Dinya.
Okay, a little live Dina Dinya. All
right.
I'm
going to
go with that.
I said,
Dina Dinya is one of the verses off of Dina Dinya, in case people didn't know. Inshallah, we're coming out. We're going to, you know, tighten up the song Dina Dinya. It should be available soon for people to actually download, inshallah. And then we're gonna come with a Dina Dinya Part 2, a remix. And anybody that think they could rap, and their rap is going to be beneficial, you know, is going to send a profound message to the youth first, and then to the, you know, to the adult. They can hop on, inshallah. But I'm going to go on real fast, Risa. Hold on. It goes like this. I said.
Remember, press the 1 if you want to get on the open mic. Press the 1, please. Go ahead.
Who, me?
No, not you.
Oh,
go ahead. Do it.
I was going to say, I'm already on the mic. I just thought they could hear my voice. You know, let me go in. Hold on. I said, God-fearing, God-will, got to keep it real. Trials and tribulations to keep my soul at stale. A Muslim is one who refrains from the acts he pleads, increasing his deen, less time for the fitting to be. Muslim for real. That's what we're trying to prevail. Open your eyes. Pull back the curtains and veils or let you die in a state of dunya for real. Muslim for real. Dina Dunya, which one you going to choose? And of course,
yeah, but I need you to with the hook real quick. Hit them with the hook so they can know what it is.
Hold on. I can't do the hook right now because, you know, it was.
Oh, that's whack.
I'm still shy. You know, I can't do that. I don't want them to hear the voice right now, man. You know,
what?
I'm still
Are
shy.
Are you serious?
Man.
Don't make me play the song while we're on.
I said, nah, I'm not going to say it with a soft voice. I'm just going to say this. It's Dina Dunya. Dina
You so corny. All right, boys. It's time for calling in and blessing the open mic. I appreciate it because, for real, like,
I really need to let the brothers know
they need to call in more. The brothers, they don't call in. They need to call in more and share.
I pretty much open it up now. Alhamdulillah, you're going to have a lot of calls coming in. The brothers are going to. You know, brothers, I got a brother actually in Rochester right now, Yazid. I'm going to forward him the information because he does poetry. He does open poetry. He's good, too. Alhamdulillah, the brother's good. So I'm going to send him forward him the information so he can call in. All right.
We still have time for one more open micer, and there was someone who pressed one, but it looks like they put their hand down again because they were afraid. So please come back and press one again. We have 5 minutes in the show, and I still have time for one more open micer. And I see 718 is in the queue. 718, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum, sister. It's Najma 53. How you doing?
Waalaikum salam, star. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just enjoying the program.
Are
you?
You
use up your 5 minutes.
And you performed tonight. So tell everybody about your performance tonight, because I was reading your post and you were excited.
Oh, you are you? No, performed at this, it was a fundraiser cultural night at where was it? It was at Restoration Plaza. It was really cool. I had a really good time.
Okay, so we heard that you went in, so I'm going to need you to go in on this 4 minutes real quick.
No, I'm not even doing that. I see Brother Adam was doing his little rhyming thing, so I was like, I'm going to rhyme. So I'm not even going to do my poetry. I did poetry tonight already. So I'm going to do a poetry slash rhyme thing.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm gonna get free tonight. I did that already. I'm gonna get a little loose, but I won't get free.
All right, sizzle.
Okay, so here's a little rhyme that's dumb short, but I just wanna spit it. And it's just called Islam. Islam. The very name just makes my heart skip. Beat so fast like 100 is a whip. Feel like 100 bucks, like I got a money clip. La ilaha illallah, so smooth right off. There was a time they say pass that, and I might take a couple hits. Or you say bottoms up, and I may take a couple sips. Been in and out the club like a double dutch and skips. Never knew where I was going, but I took a lot of trips. But my life needed meaning, knew there was more to this. Had more to accomplish, like I had a bucket list. Started reading scriptures, but wasn't feeling it. Contradictions between the Old and the New Testament. Raised in Catholicism, but confused by the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, that one was really three. Talked to a couple priests, and I said, make this clear to me. But they said, don't question God, because he's just a mystery. So you say you pray to one God, but why we say, oh, Jesus? If he's just one, then why you break him into pieces? The answer's in Kitab, but they want to burn it into creases. Or take a dump on it and put it into feces.
Mm.
That's just the first verse. I ain't finish it.
Oh, wow.
That's all I got. So all I got.
Well, that's definitely
all
something
I got
that's on
me. I thought that would take up your 5 minutes, but it didn't. Excuse me?
I said that's definitely something that's going to leave them with their mouths open. They're going to be like, wow. She went in.
Yeah, I was like, he was doing his little flow thing. I said, okay, I'll do something. Do a little flow tonight. But you know,
yeah,
that new stuff in the works, inshallah. I'll definitely call back for the open mic another night.
Yeah, I want people to know also that, you know, spoken word does not just mean poetry. You know, rhyming is also poetry, and I told somebody else that definitely we welcome all that. If you want to come on and you want to spit a rhyme or whatever and you want to share it with everyone, we definitely welcome it. So don't hesitate. Like, please don't be afraid to share your inner art with the world, because you never know how you may affect another person. And I want to thank Najma 53 for taking time out of her busy, super, super busy schedule to come on to Mom's little old show and you know, bless us with her.
Alhamdulillah, I want to say I enjoyed the program. Shout out to the poetesses. Like, the Illuminati piece was ill. And the other sister before, I didn't catch her name, but I really enjoyed her work as well. So, I just want to give a shout out. I loved everybody that was on tonight.
Yes, and I want to give a shout out to all my open micers also for you guys having the courage to come on here and to share your poetry. I mean, even though it's over the phone and some people think it may be an easy thing to do, but trust me, it's very difficult, you know, to put your work out there for people to critique, especially because this is a recorded show. So So I want to encourage everyone to keep writing, to support each other. You know, if you have any new poems, rhymes, whatever, call up, share it with us so that you can touch another life. And I'm going to say goodnight to everyone. I appreciate you for listening, and I appreciate all my callers. And another shout-out to my guest, Amira Rahman. Make sure you support her and get the sisters booked. So, and I want to bid you all goodnight, inshallah. Have a safe Eid, and I hope everyone has lots of fun and gets lots of presents and eats lots of food. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.